Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Monday, December 8th, 2014. And on today's podcast, we're going to discuss the state or the condition of Russia as reflected in a speech by Vladimir Putin, his annual speech to Russia's Federal Assembly, given last Thursday, December 4th. The speech is the equivalent of the United States President's State of the Union speech and is therefore very significant. This year's speech was different than before, with a different tone. He concentrated on the battles Russia has faced and is facing. It had similarities to Mr. Obama's State of the Union speech because he tried to rally the Russian people to his cause. Quote, this year Russia faced trials that only a mature and united nation and a truly sovereign and strong state can withstand. Russia has proved that it can protect its compatriots and defend truth and fairness. What's all that about? The mature and united nation. Russia has been there for many centuries, has it not? Well, in one sense, it has, but in another sense, it was reborn after the fall of the Soviet Union, 1989 to 1990. But let's talk for a second about who this man, Vladimir Putin, is. If you remember, he was a KGB officer, a former KGB officer. He served 10 years in Europe during the time when the Soviet Union was crumbling, during Mikhail Gorbachev and Ronald Reagan's meetings and so forth. He was privy to all that, and he witnessed this mighty empire that he served abroad humbled, and he came back to the Soviet Union apparently determined to bring Russia back as a real nation. As we all know, Russia does face significant challenges right now. The struggles in Ukraine, the annexation of Crimea, Western sanctions cutting into Russia's economy, crashing oil prices, even the return of the struggle against the Muslim rebellion in Chechnya, with an attack there just before Mr. Putin's speech. He blamed all these struggles on the West, primarily the United States. He said that whenever Russia seems too strong or independent, the West implements a broad policy of containment, and that this strategy has been used for decades or even centuries. He went on to say that even if the events in Ukraine had not taken place, the U.S. would have devised another excuse to contain Russia's growing capabilities. Mr. Putin blamed the United States for influencing Russia's relations with its neighbors and said he was unclear whether to talk to the governments of these nations or talk directly with their American patrons. He tacitly acknowledged he had underestimated American power by admitting that the United States is responsible for all of Russia's problems. He looked at President Obama, you see, and he saw a weak man, and he judged America by that, but he forgot about the double government in America. He forgot about the government that is unseen, the problems that run, as they say, on cruise control. When he was president the first time, the defining event of his presidency, Mr. Putin, that is, the defining event of his first presidency was the crushing of the Islamist insurgency in Chechnya. The defining event of his second presidency, his return to the presidency, is his hardline response to the Ukraine crisis and his annexation of Crimea. Now, he contends with trouble on both those fronts. Both are collapsing. Attacks have started again in Chechnya with some bombings and other attacks just prior to his speech. And in the Ukraine, Western sanctions are threatening economic ruin, and his military incursions into the eastern part of Ukraine have not gone so well. Russia certainly has severe problems right now. It seems as if it has not quite recovered from the Cold War, a new nation formed out of the old Soviet Union, but still part of the old and still carrying some of the old disease. Russian males have the lowest life expectancy of any nation in the industrialized world. Many, many people addicted to vodka live their short lives in despair. That is the Russia of today. The Ukrainian troubles have damaged the food harvest and the breadbasket of Europe, that being the Ukraine, just as they did in World War I. The Ukraine and the battles there and the destruction of the Ukrainian farms took Russia out of World War I. And now the same thing is happening again. American sanctions have cut Russia's ability to borrow money to help close the gap between the $650 billion Russia owes Western banks and the $450 billion in foreign cash reserves it has. It has a $200 billion difference, and the sanctions prevent it from going anywhere to borrow money to cover the interest on that amount. Once again, the bankers win. They always win. Russia's cash flow and income has been reduced by $100 to $150 billion by sanctions and by falling oil prices. This leads one to the conclusion that the West, especially the United States, is at war with Russia. The war is economic, but desperate nonetheless. Russia's soybean harvest down 22%. Wheat harvest down 50% thanks to Ukraine. What weapon does Russia have to counteract this? Well, it has energy, it has coal, it has natural gas, it has oil. Ukraine relies on coal for 40% of its electricity, and its coal supplies have fallen by 70% since Russia cut off coal exports. Cutting gas to Western Europe would be Russia's greatest economic weapon, its biggest threat, but that kind of threat has already provoked some threats of its own. The rearmament in Germany, that is about the last thing Russia needs right now. Russia has also reacted militarily to these threats. It has threatened the Baltics and its other neighbors. Over 100 Russian airplanes have marked incursions into NATO airspace without transponders, each one a hostile act. For the first time in history, Russia has warned that it intends to send nuclear-capable bombers to patrol the Gulf of Mexico. Will President Obama put up with that? Time will tell, folks. Finally, Mr. Putin suggested that attempts to dismember Russia through sanctions and other means would fail, just as Adolf Hitler had failed to conquer Russia, calling up images for the Russian people of the great patriotic struggle against Hitler. Mr. Putin stressed that Russia did not want to restore the Iron Curtain. He does not want to restore the Iron Curtain, he says. He says Russia was open to the world and that it would never pursue paranoia, suspicion, and looking for enemies. For what it's worth, the Council on Foreign Relations is in its publication, Foreign Affairs, takes a sympathetic position to Mr. Putin's dilemma in Ukraine, as does Henry Kissinger in his new book, World Order. Who's at fault here? Who knows for sure? Mr. Kissinger said that the West provoked the crisis, but Putin overreacted to it, which is pretty good analysis, I guess. Unfortunately, it's hard to trust the American government when you have a president that lies to you at the drop of a hat. At least that's the way I see it, folks. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.